Blog Talk Radio.
Vámonos, vámonos, vámonos. For all of you non-Spanish speakers, that means let's go, let's go, let's go. Especially for Alexander over here, who is sitting next to me grabbing his luscious hair and understands a lot of Spanish, but not all of it, right? Do you?
I understand more than I know how to speak, yeah.
Why are you talking in such a high energy? Like, it's almost like you want to jump out and hug the listeners. Is that what's going on with you?
No, quite off. No, no, mother, no.
Not at all?
Opposite, I guess.
You know, they say that when you're speaking, it's important to keep a good body posture.
Yeah.
So when you slouch, actually, what happens is that your body kind of takes that whole kind of ambience. I like using that word because I impressed you with that the other day. But it takes, seriously, your body, whatever you're doing with your body when you're speaking, you know, it takes that absolute theme as far as how your voice is going to come out and what you're projecting out to the world. So maybe it's important for you to actually start sitting up a little bit more straight, definitely smiling a little bit more, but just being a lot more happy. Why not?
Yep, well, that's true. But
do you disagree with me?
No, I'm feeling like an energy vampire right now. As Duncan Trust would call it, but it's life, you know?
What's an energy vampire?
Just people that just, like, I don't even know, just people that suck the energy out of other human beings and negatively, not good, right?
Well, you know that, thank God, I have so much energy that you can never do that to me.
Oh, yeah, do you, Mom? Do you?
Yeah. So that's your first, you know, you're going to be okay there. Number two is that I do know what energy vampire is. I've heard of them before. But, you know, we've got to learn to be in control and in power of our own personal energy so that doesn't happen. And that's how I do it, basically. So when you come at me, as my son especially, with your negative little energy, then I'm just like, oh, hell no.
And you always control it, mother? Do you?
I don't, because there's always this mystery thing called God that, you know, sometimes I do lose control of my energy, which means I either attach to the negativity or I create it. I create the drama because of basically habits. You know, we're human beings that we sometimes are addicted to the drama. We think that when everything is perfectly and, you know, we're all happy and we're in love and everything's perfect at the house and everything's perfect at the career, then we're like, wait, something has to be wrong here. I got to create a little something to keep me going. And so there's a ton of people that are addicted to drama. I used to be that person. But now when it's happening, it's hard to control myself. And then I'm like, oh, my God, you don't want to create this all over again. Does that make sense?
What do you mean by it's hard to control yourself?
Well, let's say that everything's happy, and then I want to go create drama in my life, right? And then I literally, when I'm creating it by getting mad at someone, let's say I'm getting mad at another human being, whether it's a family member or a stranger, then when that's happening, I could see it unfold in my eyes where I'm creating the drama. But what I can't do sometimes is like grab my consciousness and say, hey, this is not the way to go. Stop, 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 stop. So I understand that all of us at one time could possibly be vampire energies. But at the same time, we could also be the ones that are able to just say, take a moment and not let it progress. You know what I mean?
So you're aware of the path that you're going off, but you just don't have the brakes.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's worse or better, because before I used to be where I didn't even see it. So I would blame people, or I would like be pissed off at people or whatever, and I would create the drama. And then I would be like, they're so wrong, you know? And now I see it where it's not them anymore. I'm not a victim. It's my own energy. But the thing is, I can't stop it sometimes. So I still say the things that I want to say, which may hurt someone. Or I still act the way I act by not communicating and expressing myself. So it's still, I don't know if it's better to just be ignorant, like we said, ignorant is bliss, or to actually be aware. Actually, no, I know what's better. It's better to be aware. Because once you're aware, then when you're aware of something, especially something that you want to change, that means that you're actually accepting it. So let's say that you have like a horrible habit that you want to stop doing, like, I don't know, eating Cheetos in the midnight, or indulging too much in alcohol, or, you know, stuff like that. then when you actually are aware of it, instead of judging it, you're just aware and you're accepting it. And what happens is that you're able to project it into the light, and then it turns into a miracle where your actually mind starts shifting and perceiving it in a different way. Does that make sense to you?
Totally.
Yeah. And I don't get all this for me. You know, all this stuff is being downloaded to me from teachers, from God.
Oh, yeah.
Through meditation. Yeah, we have this discussion because all of a sudden you think that God cannot download to your... What are your thoughts about that?
Just sounds like you're repeating what the great Joseph Smith did. Just
well, who's Joseph Smith first?
The creator of Mormonism.
Okay, so what did he say?
He said that, oh, God talked to me. He made me write these books. And I just... it's very iffy to me, you know?
What was wrong with the book?
How could he have this God talk to you? I don't understand that.
Did he write like books about violence or what?
No. He just said that he gave him and only him the right words to write these on these tablets. I just don't understand. I don't get it.
Have you ever heard of scribes? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So scribes is something. It's a person that actually writes through the word of God. And they write, and they're writing, it's not even their own word.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example.
Not even their own word, so they're just...
They're being downloaded information. And I believe that they do exist. For example, Neil Donald Walsh, and he's a very modern one, so many people may not know him. Of course, there's more bigger examples, like A Course in Miracles, or even the Bible, I think. Who knows who wrote it, but there's messages there that were not from a human mind. They were from a higher realm. And so what I mean by that is, for example, Neil Donald Walsh, he was the homeless man. And from being homeless, he got this message that he needed to write Conversations with God, which is now, of course, New York Times bestseller, but it's been translated into who knows how many languages throughout the world. And it's a beautiful book. He did a follow-up to it as well. But what he said was that those were not my words. Those were the words of the thought, what I was putting on paper came through me from a higher source. And a higher source could be God. You can call it the universe. You can call it Buddha. You can call it Jesus Christ. You can call it whatever you want. But it was something that I connected with outside of me. Not outside of me, I'm sorry. Within me. Within me. That's very important. Within me. But not necessarily of my human capability. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've heard that before. Like even Joe Rogan, he says when he's writing the jokes and stuff that he doesn't know, he's not even him controlling himself writing, it's just this other source somehow. And I don't understand how someone can make you, I mean, who decides that you're a scribe?
No one decides, but I think
I'd rather think that you're getting this information from your imagination than from this external God.
It's not an external God to me. So I'm glad that you know somebody that actually said that. And I know you're a big fan of Joe Rogan.
A lot of people said that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an external. It's not at all. It's a within thing. But it's something that I think that, you know, you are what your beliefs are, right? So I've been exposed to people that literally have written books and have written amazing theater works or movies and all that. And it was a higher source. And what I mean by higher source does not mean someone outside of you. It just means, you know, that you went into a quiet place and you know, were either by asking or because naturally that's what happened, then you were giving these instructions and you know they're inside of you and you know they're coming from your heart, from your mind, whatever you want to call it. Cause nobody knows where your mind exists. I mean, your mind doesn't exist in your brain. So it came from there and you knew that you needed to go write it. So what I did when I found out about Neil Donald Walsh and other scribes, I literally, like 2 or 3 years ago, I started asking God, you know, please come talk to me. I think sometimes people get so caught up in the terminology. You know, like when I say the word God or when I say the word, you know, universe, and I can't, when I say the word God, I'm just using it to express myself as a human being because there are very little words you can use to describe the experience, right, of what the divinity is. And so that's what I'm truly trying to say. Does that make sense?
I agree. I probably just got caught up in terminology as well.
I'm glad because we were really...
Go on.
No. I feel like we were really contradicting ourselves in that, but that's okay. I don't want you to agree with me on everything, you know?
I just feel like such a pessimistic little turd in this pod, just like turning judgmental and stuff, but I don't know.
But that's real. You know why it's real? Because fear is an illusion, but most people don't know that. And we're taught that fear is there, and fear and do it anyway, and fear and do it anyway. Well, what if our minds just thought, hey, fear doesn't exist? What if every single day you told yourself at every 5 minutes, if you put a reminder on your phone and you told yourself, fear is an illusion. There is only love. And I guess I'm telling you this because of A Course in Miracles, because that's what I'm being taught. It's literally through the lessons. I'm on lesson 103, which every day it takes me into a whole new realm. But what if we all constantly taught ourselves that, and that we can recognize, I believe, as human beings, when you're in fear or when you're in love. Don't you recognize that?
Of course, yeah.
I mean, and in fear could be anger, you know, anxiety and all that stuff, you know? It could be all of that. But what if we were so present and we're so aware through meditation or through whatever practices you did? Yeah. Maybe you like to bungee jump.
How do you implement this?
Okay, so let's talk about the topic then, clarity. Because how do we implement this? And I, you know, I love the way Brendan Burkhardt said that we're getting into a place of society where we're creating this whole new segment of people that become experts, right?
Right.
And that word is scary to a lot of people.
Exactly. I never like claiming that I'm an expert. Just like when we made the podcast about this, the psychedelic psychotherapy. I don't know the complete science behind that. Just I had to do the science part because it was a science project. And when we made that podcast about time and the space and time relativity, I feel like a fool for talking about that because I can't fully grasp something that Albert Einstein did. Just like, and like, who, if I talk about that, it just kind of makes me feel foolish. Now that I think about it back again.
Well, number one, to your answer to that, you will never ever in this lifetime ever fully grasp the wholeness of anything. Wisdom is, remember we said this, wisdom is the beginning of knowing that you will never know it all. That's the number one thing that I want to tell you. Number two is that we are all experts. Everybody walking on this freaking planet, whether you're a one-day-old or you're a 87,000-year-old, you're an expert. You know why you're an expert? Because you have been implanted into this universe as a human being with a consciousness and a soul. And so your experience, your particular lifetime experience is an expert to what you perceive and what you've been through. And not only that, but your particular lifetime experience, whether you're 5, 10, 15, 20, 20, if we had 5-year-olds putting podcasts together, that would be fantastic because they could teach other 5-year-olds what they're going through, you know? If you're a 16-year-old or almost 17-year-old, then you've been through experiences in your life, and you know you have. All of us have. So you're only an expert as to what you've experienced. So the word expert absolutely goes with the word experience. It doesn't mean, I think when you hear the word expert, Alexander, you think that, oh my God, all of a sudden I'm better than someone. And that's not what that word means at all. I'll tell you something. I'm listening to this guy.
I don't think that's what I think it means. I think it's just that I know the most capabilities that you can know about that subject.
But they're an expert, there's no way. Scientists can never, they never have an ending job. Scientists go in, and even though they're an expert in neurology or an expert in whatever gene they want to call, that doesn't mean that they know the answers to all of neurology or that they know the answers to all of the genes. It just means that they study them. Like you said, when we researched time, we studied it, and we, based on what we studied, and we did, you know, we did, or all the other themes, then what we did is we put it out there. The information that we found based on our perception, that all of those words could mean something to someone out there. All of the teachers that I study, let me tell you, especially the spirituality teachers, they all say the same thing, but in a different way. And so...
But we can't say we're an expert because of a week of studying on something.
We never call ourselves experts. I've never called myself an expert. We just talked about something. I never said, I am the expert of time. Listen to me. Did we ever say that?
I just don't want to come off like that. We are definitely
not. Well, we're not trying. I'm not trying to come off as an expert because that would mean that I was completely ego-driven and that everybody should listen to what Veronica says. Because let me tell you, Veronica struggles just like all of you. Veronica has her days when she yells at her children.
Why are you talking about yourself?
Because I like to see myself, Veronica is this personality, it's like the alter ego, and then there's this soul inside of me. that is the same as yours and everyone else in this world. And then there's the Veronica personality, right? The things that she wants to accomplish into this world, what she was born to do, what, you know, what she desires. You know, there's people that I really admire that are not successful in a way where you think about money and fame and all that, but they're successful in a way where they're able to embrace not only their light, but their darkness, because as a human being, all of us do have that stuff. And I can tell you that some of the most famous people in this world, especially the singers and actors, they're able to do that. Because if you cannot embrace the darkness that you have inside of you, then what you're doing is you're judging yourself and you're holding yourself back. Because guess what? All of us have it. You know, all of us have a moment in our lives where we're not like perfect. Even Wayne Dyer, you know, he writes all these books about that. He's like, he was yelling at his daughter one day, and his daughter was like, well, I don't think all your readers would want to know how Mr. Wayne Dyer just reacted. You know what I mean? And he was honest about it.
There's also another story about Ram Dass, how he was waiting in line to pornographic theater. Like, after he came back from India and everything, one of his people...
Here? In the U.S.?
Yeah, in the U.S. And, like, one of the people... He looked at him and he was like, oh, well, I follow you and everything. I appreciate all the work that you did. And Ram Dass thought, like, to himself, oh, I could go and have dinner with this guy and conversate with him. Or I could just do what I was actually doing here and just acknowledge that and not act like that I'm some holy person that I'm not. And he was like, he said, well, then Ram Dass was like, yeah, it's very nice to meet you. And I'd love to go or whatever to dinner with you, but I'm going to stay here. I'm going to continue to do what I was doing. And that's just another story of...
Yeah, and so what did he do?
He went to the pornographic theater.
Well, in a bigger realm, what did he do? He accepted it. He accepted himself. He accepted that human being, and he didn't see that human being as less than him or better, you know? And if we could all walk around in life and just see each other as equals, I mean, I think that's why I treat you the way I treat you as a mother. Because, yes, you're my son, and I know what my role is as your mother, you know, because certainly I believe in maturity and that under a certain age is not a number, but you can tell by a human being that you're really just not allowed to stay home by yourself or, if you were five and I left you by yourself or whatever. Yeah. I still don't leave you by yourself, and no, I'm just kidding.
Stop.
Yeah, you're actually a really good kid. But, you know, what I'm saying, you know, as a parent, I'm here to guide you. I'm not here to, you know, I wish more parents took the role of, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to just be here and guide you, you know. My parents, they love me so much, and they guided me more than life itself. And I needed those type of parents as I came into this world, because if I didn't have them, who knows where I'd be, you know, I'd be like somewhere in Amsterdam, probably selling clothes on the streets or something. You know, seriously, because I had a very creative young mind too. Like, I just wanted to dominate the world since I was 14. But I'm glad that my parents gave me structure, you know, and all of that stuff. But in the end, you know, it's about being yourself and finding out who the hell you are. You know, you're going to find out who you are at 10, 15, 20, 30, or the day you die. So you pick, you decide. You know, you decide when you're going to start the journey, and you also decide when you're going to end it. You know, when is it going to be okay to love myself? Because you can fully love yourself and accept yourself and not have to die. You know, you can live like Ram Dass and not say, hey, by the way, I haven't spent 20 years of my life hating myself, self-sabotaging all of the great experiences. You know, not believing in myself, not saying the truth from my heart because I'm afraid what people are going to think of me. Well, you can do that too. It's up to you. But you have a choice. You know, you can live in who you truly are, or you can be mediocre. It's up to you. You decide. But what do you want to do?
Obviously, I want to live my full potential.
So, clarity, does it exist then? Can we actually live as human beings and actually have clarity in our lives? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah. But, like, at a constant state of clarity, I don't know about that. Because I feel like every once in a while your life gets foggy. And you're just at that state of, what am I doing here? But that's probably just me for now, because maybe other people have complete clarity and know exactly what they want to do and stuff, but it's just, I don't think it, for me at least, it's not always, you're not always, you don't always have clarity.
You know what, I kind of agree with that, because I felt like so many times in my life where I had clarity, and then what happened was this beautiful word that starts with the E, just evolution. And then I would squash these beliefs, and I would be like, oh, like even starting simple, you know, about religion, you know, being raised Catholic, and just that's all I believed in. And if I ever saw anything else, then I would freak out, you know. And now look at me now, and I'm just like, I'm all about spirituality, you know. And I don't even know if that's going to stick. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the next 20 years and stuff. So I feel that you can find clarity, and there's people that are really driven by that, and that's who they are, and that's who it is. But you have to leave room for growth. You know, you have to.
Your personality is constantly growing, that's
Yeah,
all.
that's what I think, that because there's some people that really become real stagnant and playing a role in this life. And then what happens there is that then there's no room for growth. And then all of a sudden they say, well, as long as I get to this, and this is who I am, this is what I have, this is the material things I possess, and these are the things that I'm doing with my life, then that's who I'm going to be. And
Exactly.
that's it, you know?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of routines, and that's kind of, it's different in a way, but then again, it's clarity always, clarity is always good because you don't have that spontaneous lifestyle, I guess. You don't know what surprises could be good as well. I mean, just
I
kind of
really love
devil's
that.
advocate, you know?
No, I really love that. And I think to answer that, in my personal experience, this is all we're doing, personal experiences, is I feel like through meditation, when I sit in a quiet place, I honestly, because I feel like the mind shuts off, you know, and then the mind shuts off. And then when the mind shuts off, you leave room for when it does back, goes back and ignites, then you have all these thoughts, right? Because there was a gap, you know, you fill the gap with the quietness of, you know, they say that your reality is created between the gap of your current thought and the next thought, right? So when you meditate, you have like this stillness in the middle that kind of just shows you what it could be like for you to calm the F down, you know, to just have complete stillness. And then when that happens, then you do get clarity at that point to what the next step is to do. So I feel like you could use meditation to help you know, find out what you need to be doing next, you know. I really do. I really do. But at the same time, there's this thing about life and that we'll never figure out, and that's the mystery. And that's where there's curveballs thrown at you through life, or, you know, whether it's good or bad, whether you have crazy things happen to you or really amazing things like doors opening, and you take the path to join corporate America and do something for this company, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this and that. So what it takes in the end for clarity is not just the quiet, still moments, but I think more than anything is knowing who you are. So it takes you finding a way to delete all of the self-sabotaging thoughts, because you're not at war with anyone but yourself, you know? So it takes practice. It takes practice, and one great practice is awareness or mindfulness, you know? What am I thinking right now? What's going on? And then you're seeing the thoughts. It doesn't mean that you're gonna like demolish them at that moment, but what's happening is that as you're seeing them more and more and more, you're like, wow, this is a thought that I always have. You know, this is a thought that always happens. Why do I need this thought in my life if it's not making me feel good? Because we don't know good and bad. We know what makes us feel, you know? That's the driving force, your feelings and your emotions. You know, when you know that something is making you feel a way, whether it's external or internal, and always it's internal, but sometimes we see it as an external thing, like that person made me mad or this, but what's really going on in here? You know, when you start to really reflect on that, then that's where you start getting your real answers. Does that make sense?
I agree. Your reflection of others is definitely depends on what you're feeling at the time.
Yeah, and I don't remember where I heard, but there was this big article about these schools in San Francisco that started doing meditation in the classroom. Remember we were talking about that? So they were talking about how reflection is the number one key to anything. And I think if more of us practice like sitting in the morning or throughout the day and just said, hey, I need to just reflect on life, you know, it's perfect to do it in the morning. But I need to reflect. Nothing's more important than this. Like, all of us have such crazy schedules. We want to go do this, this, and that. And you have school, you know, when you wake up barely in time, which is not cool. But, you know, you to take some time to just do that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So clarity, does it exist then, or do you not, does it not?
Yeah, I think it does.
I think so too. And how do you get it?
Huh. Well, I guess I'm through stillness.
Stillness, mindfulness, do something crazy, go jump off a cliff with a parachute. Please wear a parachute. You know, do something, whatever you like.
Don't wear a parachute.
Every human being likes new stuff. You know, there's people that are so into swimming, and when they go swimming, they go into another world. You know, there's follow your heart. Like, figure out what the hell you love to do, and then go do it. And then through that, yoga, exercising, going to the gym, you know, stuff that, whatever, go drink a glass of wine or seven. Whatever it is, don't judge yourself. Just know that this is, you know, a phase in your life that could possibly progress. And accept it, and then,
So just acceptance and not rejecting the moment and just letting things be and just going with the flow, that leads to clarity?
Completely. Now, the crazy shit is that you just did all that, and then it's, like, it's so much harder to do than to say, you know?
Oh, of course,
yeah. But I promise you, the more you do it, the better you get, the better you get. That is not an understatement. And it's worth it. I mean, is your life worth it? Is are your desires and dreams worth it? Do you understand that you came into this life being, I believe we're eternal and we're going to reincarnate or whatever. Maybe not me. If you decide that this is the lifetime that you want to completely awaken, like all of our ascended masters, like Jesus Christ, Buddha, and all of them, maybe this is your lifetime. If you believe it, that's what's going to happen, right? And if you don't even know what the hell I just said, then that's okay too, because you were born for a big ass reason. And I guess in the end, it's just about knowing who the hell you are, you know, knowing that you're freaking amazing and that you're on the right path regardless, you know. There's so many things in my past where I could be like, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done this. I mean, it wasn't easy being pregnant at 16. And me, not only that, me being an intelligent woman who was in, like, freaking honors classes and, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, I wasn't, like, a normal, typical, you know, thug that got pregnant. Like, everybody has these ideas of women that get pregnant very young. You know, young women, like, teenagers that get pregnant and they're, like, in gangs or, you know, they have a bad upbringing or they have a horrible, you know, home. You know, where they go to every day. That wasn't me. You know, I had an awesome family that loved me, probably loved me way too much and took care of me way too much. I had, you know, the best. And my mom made sure that I went to school and that I was in honors classes. I had everything for me going. Yet God still, or whatever, higher source, because Alexander gets all butthurt when I say that. And that's okay. I believe, I agree with them. Then, you know, that stuff, it still happened, and I think it was just those are the mysteries in life that we need to start accepting and start saying it's okay, you know. But since then, I've learned how to find that clarity and to figure out who I am. And I'm still inventing myself every day, creating myself, because that's the beauty of being alive and having a breath every single morning and being appreciative of this whole thing, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So I don't even know what the heck we were talking about. There's so much other stuff we were going to talk about, but we're out of time, and I've got a place. I got a date with your daddy tonight,
wow.
I got to get ready. So thank you guys for listening. Love you all so much. Please, please let your light shine and go experience life. Know thyself.
What she said. Peace.
Peace out.